This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
One of the big winners was the Red Sox. They went and got Adley Rutschman. Let's not forget, they were 32-46. They have since gone 28-5. They absolutely had to add another bat to this lineup, especially behind the plate. They got four home runs from their catchers. They had a 28-year-old switch hitter who was number one overall pick, and he made the All-Star team this year. They gave up, and I think it was worth it, given the situation.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brendan Sprague.
Swing, drag, history, Burleson has.
Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice little drive-in this morning. Nice Tuesday morning. It's good to be with everybody.
Nice to see we're cycling today. White tees, college hats. Look at us in unison on a Tuesday.
I literally hadn't really looked at
you. Swag missed the memo, man. Where's the white tee and a Portland Pilots hat?
I don't have a lot of white tees.
Not a lot of white tees over there?
No, he's a used college polo man.
He still goes polo every day.
Like, whatever the free college polo he can get, he'll get.
I mean, a good polo is very comfortable. Don't get me wrong. The texture of it, it's light, it's breathable, especially on a hot day like today. I got no issues with it. But if you get a good, comfortable tee, it's been a life changer for me, man.
Yeah, the sad thing, it looks like we organized the outfit.
Well, I did. I texted you last night. I said, hey, make sure you wear white tee, White Tee Tuesday. It's White Tee Tuesday on the show, brought to you by White Tees.
I almost wore my Timbers hat, and I stopped, and I said, he might wear that.
I could. You never know.
And I went through a pile. I have a lot of hats, but a lot of hats I don't wear anymore.
Right. Kind of just get pushed to the back of the closet.
Well, most of my fitted hats I can only wear backwards because my forehead's not big enough for the crown.
Yeah, I don't have a good head for fitted hats anymore either.
And I'm an in-between a quarter and an eighth. It's
same
a weird-sized, small head I have.
Same exact thing. And then you either get it way too tight, dude, and you got to yank on it to try and loosen it. Or it's too big and it goes over your ears and you look like an idiot.
Exactly. So I have like a rotation of dad type hats that I usually wear.
Sure, love a good dad hat.
I found this hat. I haven't seen this hat in 5 months.
You forgot that you had it in the back of the
closet? No, I knew I had it. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah,
and so
look at that.
I was like, that's where that hat went. And I just laughed and I went, well, we're not going to have similar things today.
We won't be matching tomorrow.
Leave it to you to just come in and be like, well, I'm going to wear my Oregon hat today.
That's what I got.
I should have thought about that. We're playing Oregon Media. I should have been like, well, here he goes. He's going to be Mr. Duck on the YouTube page today. Damn it. Damn it.
I don't know if you're aware of this.
Right in the butt.
But people tell us, our show, one's duck, one's beef.
Oh, God.
I hear that quite often.
I'm so tired of that.
We're the Civil War of Portland radio. Did you know that?
Stupid.
Me and you, mano y mano.
I don't know if anything has made me more upset in my span of being at the Fan than having to hear that crap for a decade plus.
One's a duck. One's a beaver.
One's a beaver.
They hate each other.
What will they ever talk about if it's not the beef or the ducks?
It's all we do for 4 hours a day, don't you know?
So ridiculous.
Civil War content. We'll do 1 hour today, 6 a.m. on the Ducks, 7 a.m. on the Beavs, back to the Ducks at 8 a.m., back to the Beavs at 9 a.m.
Like, Shove it up your ass.
We're the platypi.
So tired of it.
We're the platypi show, all right?
I've hated our show names, and I've hated the duck beef thing. It's so overplayed.
I had a good chuckle. So there, I had a good throwback chuckle the other day.
Do people introduce their friends? This is Mike. He's a husky. I'm a duck. One's a husky. One's a duck. It's just so stupid.
They should do that, actually.
It's like all-time stupid
crap. I'm
going
to start
doing
that whenever I introduce friends to new friends. By the way, yeah, he's a beaver.
I think the biggest mistake I've made in my media career is ever telling anybody I went to Oregon State publicly.
You don't want that to be public knowledge.
Well, it's not. It's like I had a great experience. I'm not ashamed of having gone to Oregon State.
No.
I really made my bones in media by covering Oregon State, but the mistake was saying I went to Oregon State. I should have never told any person on or off the air where I went to college.
Kept that under wraps.
I should have always kept it under wraps and said, yeah, I covered Oregon State for 2 years. But yeah, I you know, I went to college. You don't need to know where.
Yeah, I have a piece of paper. It doesn't matter where it came from. Nobody's ever going to ask for it. They're announcing a new ESPN radio lineup. I don't know when it starts, but we got the Golics are going to be a tandem.
Started on Monday.
Okay, so it started on Monday.
We have a new ESPN radio lineup?
We do have a new ESPN radio lineup. The Golics are teaming up. We have Mike Sr. and Mike Jr. That's the big news. But what made me chuckle was...
Is it called Mike and Mike?
They should. If it's not...
It's called the Golics.
That's a missed opportunity.
Is it because they don't want to rebrand the Mike and Mike thing?
Is there a TM there?
Does Greenberg hate him, by the way? Have we ever...
No.
Publicly, he does not
hate him.
Have
you ever seen anything post their radio
show? I saw some quotes. Well, we got some... I saw some quotes.
You got some media quotes from Mike Greenberg saying it's great for ESPN?
No, actually, some awful announcing reporting and other reporting like that.
Saying that they're friends.
That I think they have a healthy respect. They understood it was contentious and it didn't need to be when they broke up. But Mike wanted to do TV. He wanted to do Get Up and go to New York. And
well, also, this is a absolute just grind of your life.
Yes, it is, especially in the morning. When you're doing the morning show on ESPN, I can't, like, that's a lot going on there. But what made me chuckle was in their lineup. Do you know what their night show's called?
I don't. Oh, I do actually know this. It's Game Night.
It's called Game Night.
They've had that one for a while.
Has it been called Game Night for a while?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't listen to
many
lot.
Years.
I don't listen to a lot of nighttime.
Well, I don't listen
ESPN
to it
radio.
Either. I've just seen that their night show is Game Night. I had a chuckle about that.
And I was like, oh, look at that. Game Night, huh? Still in existence. Still going strong. Still standing.
So the Golics are, what time are the Golics on?
Right during 7 and 9. So they're right after Unsportsmanlike.
You don't want to listen to that show.
Nah, who needs
you
that,
stick
right?
with Dirt and Sprague here.
Who wants a nepotism radio show? I don't need that
and
in
then
my
Matt
life.
Matt and
right?
Myron, who
we earned this through our Duck
weekends.
And Beaver fandom, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Myron?
Matt and Myron.
Matt. Who's Matt?
I don't know.
Matt.
That's just what the show's
I feel like
called.
If I don't know who you
Matt
are by your
is
first name.
Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio. Yeah, he's hosting a show
on ESPN Radio?
I guess he's on ESPN Radio.
They had a weekend show for a long time.
From 12 to 2.
Now, noon to 2.
Matt Jones is one of the more underrated all-time sports radio guys that will never get the amount of love that he probably deserves.
Probably right.
And
he
Myron
literally
Metcalf.
Started an entire sports network at like 22 years old.
It's
in
insane,
Kentucky.
And it's still going strong to
it's
this day.
Super
it's one of the most, one of the strongest sports radio stations in the country.
Like they're an entity now. Like when they have they have people go to events and they're like Kentucky Sports Radio.
Yes, it's a very big deal.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, well,
so they got that going for them.
Got a new lineup, huh?
You know what? They aren't. One's not a duck. One's not a beaver. I'm not listening to the show.
I know, Matt. One's a wildcat. What's Myron?
I have no. What is
that? Myron Metcalf.
Myron Metcalf.
Where did he go to school?
That's a great question. Let's look it up.
Do they play? One's a wildcat. One's
Myron,
a Jayhawk.
I don't know.
What are we doing there?
Myron Metcalf. I don't know. Is he a former athlete?
Yeah, I think he is.
He's a senior college basketball reporter. I got nothing on where he went to school.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Wisconsin. He went to Wisconsin.
One's a Badger. One's a wildcat.
One's a Badger. Mm. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday, indeed. My oldest yesterday, kind of the tail end of my day, a very weird day, by the way.
Mm.
Like, when the smoke started coming in.
It was hazy yesterday. I noticed it. Like, I had the windows open
right
and
away.
The fans, and you're like, dude, I got to close this up.
Not good. We had a red sun at sunset.
Yeah, red suns are not a good thing.
it's not a good
weird,
sign.
It's just a weird lighting. Like, just looking outside.
It's apocalyptic.
Very apocalyptic,
and
yes.
I just feel for everybody in Central Oregon right now, obviously in Spokane.
Yeah.
Just dealing with this crap. I don't know how they... And also, like, Lanning yesterday, he said he did his usual coach's retreat to Central Oregon. Like,
Are people in places of Central Oregon not seeing smoke at all?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I talked to my son. I said, how is it in... He said, in downtown, in Bend, it's not that bad.
I don't know what that means, though, because my daughter was claiming she couldn't tell that it was hazy and smoky. And I'm like,
yesterday outside,
look at the trees.
She couldn't tell that there was a little bit of red in the air?
I was concerned. Yeah, I was a little concerned. I'm like, it's fairly obvious that this is all fire smoke.
Okay, let's try this one, man. Can you smell it? Well, can you smell the smoke? Do we got smoke
said,
in the air?
I think it was about three weeks ago when they had all the lightning strikes that caused many of the fires. He said, yeah, when it first happened, it was really bad all throughout Bend, Redmond, but
sure.
He said it's dissipated in the populated areas now. So they're still dealing with the Warm Springs fire.
Oh yeah.
And Warm Springs is a good distance from Bend.
Yeah.
Because you have to go through Madras and
so he's not seeing it as much.
So it's not affecting things right there in downtown Bend.
To your point, though, on the coaches' retreat, they're not going to downtown Bend.
Where were they? Sun River?
Caldera Springs.
They're usually getting a pretty nice house somewhere.
Yes, they're renting a mansion somewhere on a golf course, probably playing a round or two of golf. Like it's a last coaches' retreat before fall camp opens up.
You're out on Thursday, Friday.
I am,
Is it odd to you to know you're going over there?
It's a little strange right now. Yeah,
I haven't canceled, but it's got to be a little bit of an odd feeling.
From what I've read, I know the next 2 days are supposed to be pretty bad, and then it's supposed to, the wind direction is supposed to shift a little bit, and so we should be clear. It should start blowing east, I thought, by Thursday, which is when we're supposed to go, and all the fires are mostly east of Sun River to begin with. Mm-hmm. So that's the fingers crossed, but I'll fully report out. We're planning on going. We're not canceling. So we'll get out there, see how it looks on Thursday, and then go from there.
They need a rainstorm.
A rainstorm would be fantastic.
Just like a monsoon of rain two straight days.
Just everybody turn their hoses on, spray them up in the air. Let's figure this thing out, all right? Right? It's brutal, man.
But yesterday, by the end of the day, I was talking with my oldest, and I don't even remember how we got on this topic. She asked me what I wanted on my tombstone.
Oh.
And I go, what do you mean?
He's a beef. Go Beavs, how about that? Drop that one on there. What do you think? Lived and died a beef from start to finish.
He's a beef.
He was not on trees.
Yeah, what would she said, what do you want your quote to be? I said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
She goes, well, you know, beloved husband and dad and friend and all that. Well, what's your quote?
Yeah, what are you going to write on there?
I don't know.
I got nothing planned out.
Tombstone? I don't want to be buried.
You know what? Yeah, that's a tough one because even if you're not buried, most people still have tombstones. You're just not
do
in
they?
There. I think so. I think that's still a thing.
I think there's a lot of people that don't.
That don't want a tombstone?
It's embarrassing to admit publicly. So my great-grandparents, they were in most of my youth in my life, right? I didn't really get to know my grandpa. My great-grandpa, he kind of got sick at the end of the last few years. And all my images of him are mostly either sneezing on my chili dog and telling me to eat it anyway, or sitting in his bark lounger.
It's a man who lived through the Depression.
Don't be a little bee.
Don't.
That man was very nice to my mom. Very interesting cat. Served in a couple wars.
Yeah.
He's seen some stuff.
Couldn't have rice in his house.
I've had far worse on a hot dog before, kid. Yeah. What are you crying about?
Yeah.
Well, punk-ass kid, eat that chili dog.
A lot of the images are either that or him sitting in his chair with a blanket to his neck because he was just always cold.
Always
circulation. Six-four skinny man, right? So
issues,
I didn't have a lot of great, vivid memories, but sadly, he passed away before my great-grandma, and then she passed away maybe 2 years later. I went to his grave one day because I had found out what cemetery it was at and I had time to kill and I was 18 or 19. So I went over there just to see it and I went over and I saw it and I looked down and, said when he served and his, years he lived and all that. And I called my mom and I go, hey, where's grandma buried? And she goes, she's buried next to him. And I go, there was no
tombstone, yeah.
And she goes, I know her kids didn't want to pay for the tombstone.
Ooh.
And I went, so she's buried next to him and there's nothing? And she goes,
ouch.
Yeah, well, you know your aunt and uncles. And I go, you're right, I do.
Aware.
You're right. I just never thought about it.
Why did you just buy one headstone and put both names on it? If there was already a headstone, just get a little chisel out there. If they're buried next to each other, bing, bing, bing.
But the problem is,
carve the name into there.
It was a blended family situation from decades prior, so you had one side
Yeah, that's tough. That's one of the worst ways to go. Like, you could get cremated, you could get buried. You could.
Is it one of the worst ways to go?
I think getting buried without any recognition that you're actually buried there, that's a pretty tough way to go.
Is that a sad thing to you?
That's a pretty sad thing.
So you die and you have nothing.
Nothing.
Teddy ball game,
just
little
throw
Wyatt.
Me in the dirt somewhere and leave me behind?
Yeah.
At that point, you'd rather be cremated.
At that point, spread my ashes and go throw me in the ocean or something. If you're going to bury me, I want people to know. Come pay their respects. Lay some flowers right here,
You don't
want
to be buried, like, next to a golf course for tax purposes?
I think I'm out on that. Unless it gets Teddy a lifetime membership there, then I'm all for it. But if he's not getting a benefit out of it, no, dude. Either cremate me or put me in the ground and put a headstone on
now,
top of it.
Have you thought about an epitaph on your tombstone?
I don't know what I would put. I was thinking about that for about an hour yesterday after she said it. It was like, I was like,
what's the percentage of people that decide what they want on it? And what's the percentage of people that the people buying the headstone decide what to put on it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, how many people before they die dictate, this is exactly what I want on my headstone? Because I feel like the majority of them, like, you come, he's a beloved husband, a father, whatever, brother. Yeah. Like, you just, that's kind of the go-to.
Do you want that even? That just feels so cliche.
It feels very cliche.
Standard.
I don't know if I want to, should I write hags? Have a great summer.
Hags would actually be a really funny thing. See, I want to go for more funny.
You want people to laugh when they walk by your headstone?
I like that there's...
It's over! We think!
That would be hilarious on yours.
I mean, that needs to be on your headstone.
I mean, look, if we're playing math here...
Here's the situation! ... It's over!
It's over! There is no we think. That would be great for swag.
That's so perfect.
In fact, I think you need to text your son.
This needs to be sent. Send that.
Never change this.
In the family group chat, dictate this is part of my will, but if I change my mind, if I have a better call down the road, we can evolve it. But for right now,
I wonder if there's like a motion detector you can put on it and I can have the call. So as you walk by,
you're like one of those scary Halloween decorations that makes kids jump. Ah, there's some kid walking by to go see granddad and he walks by Swag's tombstone. What the hell was that, man?
Whoa, here,
he's alive.
My other grandma's buried, off Foster, that cemetery, I forget what it's called, over near Clackamas. And I couldn't quite remember where she was buried. And I ended up finding her tombstone. But I had to walk. And so as you're walking past other tombstones in the ground. And I always look at them. I'm always curious, how old were they? What years were they alive?
Yeah.
What was their name? Like,
I love looking at that stuff whenever I'm in a cemetery.
Yeah, if I'm ever in that situation, I will look at other things. There's been ones where ladies will put, like, their favorite recipe on their tombstone.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's a very popular thing, but I think there's people that have actually legitimately put, like, their favorite cookie recipe on the tombstone. And
have we ever walked by and then tried the cookies? Now I'm tempted.
Well, I mean, you go home and make the cookie of the dead person.
If that's a good enough cookie to put on your tombstone,
they obviously lived by it.
I'm down to go home and try that cookie recipe and see how good it actually is.
Dare I say a poll question has existed in this segment of it might be 100% yes or no. Should Swag on his tombstone have, here's the situation, ... It's over. That's it.
There's no we think. You're not really leaving that one up for interpretation. You're underground at that point. But it is over, and that is the situation, and it applies perfectly.
Well, I think the sad part is I think my daughter asked me that mainly because I'm turning 40. So I think to her.
You're ancient, dude.
Dad, you ain't that far away. And I'm
To a middle school age kid, high school age kid, 40 is you are just a grandfather at this point.
I think in many ways.
When you think about being like 14 years old and think about being 40, oh my God, that seems so old.
Yeah.
Now you're here and you're like, whatever, it is what it is.
I don't know what I'd put on there. I really don't.
This is one of those things, like, I don't know if I want this pressure. I want somebody else to describe it for me. I'm not going to see it, so what the hell do I care?
Do you want them to come up with it?
Come
up
with something.
What if it doesn't really, like, represent you?
what do I care, you know?
Mm.
Not sitting there reading it every day.
If you die before me, I'm going to have a...
You better have a hand in this. Don't do me wrong here. Don't do me dirty here, okay?
Can you add Special K? Wait, why?
He's a big...
He loved the cereal.
The cereal.
Don't worry about it.
The cereal was outstanding.
Is that really true? That's an inside joke between me and him.
Don't worry about it. Everybody just comes and puts their different inside joke on the tombstone. None of this makes any sense, man. I'm so confused.
That would actually be a good thing.
That's not a bad idea.
Like five people that put their little inside jokes with you on it. What does this mean?
Can I get a roof daddy on mine?
To the roof daddy!
I like that you assume you're going to the roof.
I mean, I'm hoping I'm going to the basement. Roof. Fingers crossed for the roof. I'd prefer the roof over the basement.
I really don't even know if I'm going to have a tombstone.
Yeah, you just want to get cremated and spread to the wind?
No, she goes, why don't you want a tombstone? I go, I don't know. Would you give a tombstone to a guy who wants to shoot his naked body to the sun? She goes, what?
What?
And I go, let it be a science experiment. Yeah. See how far away from the sun until the body completely
dissolves. How far can I make it into the atmosphere?
And then we'll know exactly the line.
Oh, look at that. That's the Brandon Sprague line now.
If you ever wonder, it's like, how far or how close to the sun can a naked human body get from Earth to the sun if it's shot out? Let me be the example in a history book.
It's the we have the Mason-Dixon line that we read about. Now it's the Brandon Sprague line. That's where you burn up by the sun. Thank you for your gift to science.
There could be way worse things to be remembered for.
Yeah, I think I lean cremated and spread me in places that I love. I think that's where I lean. Mm. Leave a little bit of me, little bit of dirt.
You got a
behind.
Top five places you'd love to be spread?
Not yet. I haven't lived long enough to have a good top five.
Really?
Yet. Yeah, you know, there's some good golf courses.
There's not one spot that's popped in your life so far that
Augusta
you'd say,
National behind the 10th tee.
The 10th tee?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on the
over
tee.
By, is that where
your VIP was?
That's where our VIP was. Just, you know, just a sprinkle. That's all I need, just
this
a sprinkle.
This is where Peyton Manning's at a Lou team. Or no, it's Matt Ryan.
It was Matt Ryan.
That's right. It was
and
Matt
Florida,
Ryan.
Florida, Georgia line,
that's
baby.
Right.
I was hanging out with the
Didn't
celebrities.
Didn't you see Matt Ryan in back-to-back years?
We saw him abandoned. Yeah. When we were down there, he was like one of the only other people there. He flew his buddies in, and they were all getting hammered at the restaurant, and then I hung out with them at the Masters.
Something tells me if we would have engaged Matt Ryan would have given us similar Aaron Rodgers-type vibes about that situation.
You think he would have gone that route?
You think I care?
You think I care about this?
Oh, you're private. Mask up. Kiss my ass.
I'm not caring about COVID. Fauci, what's the matter with you?
Well, you can think about that today. What would you put on your tombstone? What's your famous quote? I was asked about that. Welcome to 40.
Nobody is beating.
Here's the situation.
I don't think we can.
It's over.
That's just like.
That's it. It's
that's all-time great stuff for his life.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It applies forever.
Well, we have two guests today. I'll tell you who they are on the other side of the break. We got a lot to get to. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going. 105.1, The Fan.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
All right, welcome back in. We got the poll question up, our 6 a.m. poll question. We usually get one out of that segment, and the question is, should @FanSwag get here's the situation, .. it's over on his tombstone?
It's an
yes
easy
or no?
Yes. I already went and voted. It's an easy yes.
Oh, I don't think it's a question. It's
that's,
an easy yes.
That's an obvious one right there.
Have we ever had a unanimous poll question?
I don't think that we have. Ooh. I don't believe we've ever had 100-0.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure about that. I don't know.
I feel like we've had a couple.
You think we have?
But it's been like...
Been a while?
Stupid poll questions
sure.
is why we do them.
This one, I mean, the only people voting no might be your family. If you're listening, it's an easy yes. Now, your family might go, can we get something more serious than that? To which you should say that's, you know, that's an iconic
moment.
There's
only one person in my family who might be listening by now, but he might already be at work.
He's already at work, yeah.
My brother.
If your brother is not on the case,
he's got to be on
the case. If he outlives you.
We need Brother Swigard on the charge
to
here,
step
okay?
in here and do the right thing.
Take the bull by the horns and let's get this thing on the tombstone.
And if it's not on your tombstone, I will be at your funeral. I'll step in front of all those people I don't know and be like, you guys got it all wrong.
You screwed it up.
No idea who he is. And you never supported him. I'm going to make sure it happens. I'll vandalize your tombstone to make it happen.
Write it in Sharpie.
Do whatever it takes, buddy.
Here's the situation.
A couple odds and ends before we get going here. We'll get Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. Somebody did chime in yesterday, and it's a very fair criticism. The menu is changing a little bit. Somebody is wondering aloud, should Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague go out of business due to the specials we keep providing?
I mean, there's been some pretty weak specials this week.
Yeah,
it's only been one.
Ones. I mean,
get
there's
it.
Some health in there.
You just, you know, I'm going out for a big breakfast.
You're right.
I don't want healthy.
Okay.
I don't want cottage cheese.
All right.
All right.
I'm sorry. It was a good cottage cheese.
If you're at home and you're looking through the fridge and you're like, damn it, I don't really, okay, fine, I'll eat cottage. Like, that's okay in that situation. But if I'm out at breakfast, never in a million years would cottage cheese be on my plate for breakfast.
It's some college football today. Kurt Cignetti's pissing everybody off. And you know what? I'm with them.
Really?
Yeah, I'm with them.
You're with them getting pissed off at Kurt Cignetti? Yeah. Yeah. Or we're with Kurt Cignetti pissing everybody off.
Well, there's going to be context to it, but yes. Yeah.
I love that people are acting as if he's never talked this way.
Oh, I'm not talking about that.
Somebody needs to put him in his place. I see a lot of that, though, from SEC people. And I'm like, he said this at Indiana before they won.
SEC people are ridiculous.
If you can't put him in place before he won, you ain't put him in his place after he won.
Yeah, the SEC's biggest issue is they're forced to deal with the rest of the college football nation now in a way that they haven't, and they don't know what to do.
We're the captain now.
Exactly. We had some baseball movement yesterday. Adley Rutschman is a Boston Red Sox. He is no longer a Baltimore Oriole. That was devastating for one Joe Fisher. I want to ask you if you saw this highlight from yesterday, a baseball game. I didn't watch this game. I just saw this highlight. Did you see Astros outfielder Taylor Trammell by chance?
I did not. No. What happened here?
It never usually doesn't happen where both of you haven't seen this. So yesterday, Toronto and Houston were playing. And in the bottom of the fourth inning, Toronto was up 3-0. There is one out. Or no, there's no outs. Taylor Trammell steps to the plate. He's an outfielder for the Houston Astros. He gets a pitch slightly inside. He cranks this thing to right center field. The outfielder for the Blue Jays, I don't know his name, jumps onto the wall.
Oh, my God.
Catches it.
I'm watching it right now.
One out. Taylor Trammell is rounding the bases and thinks he's hit a home run. And this isn't like over the wall catch. This is his, catches it, body hits the wall.
Yeah, it's in front of the
fence. This isn't by the Crawford, that short porch.
No,
this is out where there's the fence.
It's that little cutout kind of in right center field.
It's hard
field-ish.
To tell out there where the line is.
If you lift your head up, you see the pitcher literally laugh and put his arms up.
Okay. Like great
the
catch.
The outfielder is getting dapped up by other outfielder.
Throwing the ball back into the infield.
Trammell's just got his head down because he thought
he hammered
it. He's
just rounding the bases, and by the time he gets to home plate, he does the kiss the hands, thank God, and he looks over.
I mean, that's...
And his teammates are like, dude, that was an out.
You're not coming back from that.
And he is stunned. He touched every... base, touches home, walks the dugout, takes his helmet off, camera points to his face, and he's just like in utter disbelief.
How did that just happen?
That didn't leave the yard.
The most egregious part of this is the fact that if you do this on the road, it's one thing, but when you hit a home, like when the Braves hit a home run, what happens in the stadium?
Yeah. Lights up.
When the
fireworks.
Dodgers hit a home run, what happens in the stadium?
Exactly.
The
lights
go down.
Or
there's fireworks.
Or something.
There's a bubble show.
Happens
there's,
when the Mariners
music.
Do it.
Right. Like use your home run song plays.
Yes. When you hit a home run at home, it's a big deal. Yeah. And everybody goes crazy. There's nobody cheering. Because it was caught, and everybody knows it's caught.
The outfielders are doing the touchdown arms up. That's like the pitcher's clapping.
If you do it on the road and you're not, it just the crowd kind of goes quiet because you hit a home run on the road, then maybe that's a normal circumstance for you. This is at home. There's no fireworks. There's no light show. Nobody's freaking out. I mean, this is, you're not coming back from this.
Like, he doesn't realize it's not a home run until he skips off of home plate.
Yes.
And takes like two more steps.
And nobody's coming out of the dugout.
Nobody's celebrating. The catcher's probably saying something like, dude, what?
What are you doing?
Well, I don't think they were noticing what he was. I think they were just, oh, he's just rounding it out,
just
whatever.
Running around.
But he's like in his own bubble so hard. That he doesn't realize this was a relatively easy out for the Blue Jays.
I now want to see. I am curious because I don't know a lot about Taylor Trammell. Let's learn something new every day. How many home runs do we think he has on the year?
16.
Oh, 7. Yeah, he's got 5.
Oh, my God.
Only 5. He's only hit 23 in his entire career.
If you don't have over 30 at this point, you should not be acting like you just routinely hit it out.
If you have fewer than 10 home runs at this point in the season, anytime a ball leaves your bat, you should sprint out of the box.
Exactly.
Because the chances are it's not going out of the
yard.
With
your head up.
With your head up, watching where it goes to see if you can stretch it into a double or a triple. That should be your entire game plan.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about that I don't think is like full segment worthy, but it caught my attention because I couldn't help but think of one of my coworkers here, Mr.
It's over, we think.
And I just want to ask if you saw another college basketball story that popped through the sports headlines yesterday. I thought
chances are very low for me seeing a college basketball story.
It might have just been good timing for me. I don't dig for the college basketball stuff.
But the NCAA lost another court case?
No, it has nothing to do with the NCAA. This has to do with a program in the ACC.
Mm.
And a very interesting decision.
I did see this. Okay. I was going to put it in the magic hat on
Thursday.
Oh, were
you? Yes. Okay, well, I'll spoil the hat here, okay?
This is ridiculous, by the way.
So this could be impacting Swag at some point in his life. What does Swag do for Portland?
He calls games. Oh, I did see this story.
So if you haven't seen the story, Bill Murray, yes, legendary comedic actor Bill Murray, his kid has been an assistant for a very long time in college hoops, has worked his way up the ranks, and has become now, from UConn head coach with Hurley, head coach of Boston College.
Yes. Yeah.
Luke Murray, it was announced yesterday, Boston College had to fire their men's basketball broadcasters because Luke Murray, quote, wanted nobody tied from the previous staff involved.
It's a losing mentality.
What are we
and
doing?
These are like two guys that like they're not very popular in Boston.
No.
But the people who listen to Boston
who follow College, Boston College
have
hoops.
Known them for a while.
Yeah, and I did it. So there's one guy that's he's the engineer and the color guy and he'll do stuff.
Yeah.
Because one of the other guys works for the Brewers radio
they're
in some
not
capacity.
A very big production here.
Well, in Boston College hoops, let's face
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Not very good.
But he fired them.
What are we doing?
Because they called games for the previous regime.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Wouldn't even meet with them. These guys, from the time he was hired in March or April, they were trying to go in and meet and love to meet you and find out how you want to do things. Got brushed off consistently.
How un-Bill Murray-like of Luke Murray to
very,
do this.
Yeah.
How very Dan Hurley.
It's very Dan Hurley. And then I saw, I was like, oh, he coached for Dan Hurley, of course.
Who's worse with longtime broadcasters, Tom Dundon or Luke Murray?
Ooh.
There's a fun one for you early on
at
Tuesday.
At least Dundon's is, well, God, it feels so gross.
Don't defend it. Don't defend it.
Luke Murray's is ridiculous.
This has nothing to do with saving money. This
no.
is just a weird
these guys
thing.
Aren't
as
making
if they're not making
dough.
Anything.
These
dude.
Guys work other jobs.
Yeah.
They're not making like livable incomes to do this.
You apply for the job, Swag?
Huh?
Do you apply for the job?
Would you move to Boston to do this job?
Be kind of a dirty way to get a job, but it is an ACC job.
Why is it a dirty way for him to get a job?
I mean, it's not
open.
Dirty for him. It just, you know.
He didn't text Luke Murray, fire him and I'm there.
Well, I don't know that
I
want
know.
To. Well, one, it sounds like I wouldn't be able to just do that job. I'd have to have something else, especially to
so
afford
life
to live
here?
In Boston.
Right.
You might live in a better city. I've never been to Boston.
Boston's cool. Okay. If I had to move to the East
Boston
Coast.
Boston would be an awesome city to
I
live
think
in.
Boston is one of the places I could see myself.
WEEI would beg you to come in and be swag. For them.
Yes, they would.
Like, wait a minute. You do everything?
Arms wide open.
I do.
Come on in, buddy.
I produce. I cut audio. I'll host a show if you need to. I can talk golf.
EEI's probably got, you know, a stable of producers.
Nah, not like you. Not like you.
I appreciate that.
You know the last time Boston College won double-digit games in a season?
It's a long
time. Jared Dudley.
Or I should say, I meant conference games, sorry, in the ACC.
Was Jared Dudley playing there?
Was he playing there in 2006, 2007? That's the last time they won 10 ACC games in one season.
Jared Dudley is a Boston College guy, right?
I believe so, yes.
Pretty
sure I believe so. The last time they made the tournament was 2008, 2009.
When did the Big East break up for the first time? When did they actually join the ACC?
They left the Big East in 2004, 2005 was their last year.
Would any of that stuff like get into your guys' heads?
No, it's so stupid. If I met the person and I didn't like them or they were rude or there was something off-putting about them,
see,
then
that
by
would
all
be
means,
my bigger
change,
concern like, is, okay, how much of an a-hole is this if he's making this decision?
If this is something he's thinking about
because
as the
I
new
gotta
coach of a bad
you
program?
Know, you want to go to practice and you got to hang out.
Imagine Dan Lanning doing this to Jerry Allen. Like, nah, you were associated with Cristobal and Taggart. I don't want anything to do with you.
It'd be odd to get Mike Parker fired.
What does the different radio voice have to do with anything inside
your
program?
Well, it's also...
Do you think there's a slant there? Like, the last coach was so great.
Their records the last couple, 11-20, 12-19, 20-16, 16-17, 13-20. 4-16, 13-19. Like,
what would he be?
Where's the university at this point? That's even a bigger.
Well, they're the ones that had to fire him. He couldn't fire them. He had to tell somebody to fire them.
I think they're pretty excited about having a Murray be their head basketball coach. I'd imagine he's probably getting to do whatever the hell he wants because that's the only time I've ever heard or thought about Boston College basketball since Jared Dudley is the fact that Bill Murray's son is the coach. coach
there.
He is. He's a Dan Hurley guy, but I can't help but wonder how much also they hired him in just hopes that Bill Murray will be sitting courtside at home games.
That is 40% of the reason you hire him.
40% of the 40%? Reason?
When you're irrelevant, that's... Why did Green Bay hire Doug Gottlieb? He's a national radio host. What the hell, dude? He's going to talk about us on his program.
I love that take by you. 40% of the reason.
You're irrelevant. This is Deion Sanders. You might as well hire somebody who's going to make you some money and bring some attention to your program. You're irrelevant. Nobody thinks about you. When was the last time, before yesterday, that you spent any amount of time thinking about Boston College basketball?
I never have.
Never have.
Not in the ACC.
Other than watching Jared Dudley and going, I hate that guy.
I'll challenge you on something deeper.
Probably.
Okay. When was the last time you watched an entire Boston College game?
Never have in my life. Never
probably
have in my life.
Way back in the Big East when I was a kid in the 80s and they were playing like Georgetown or Syracuse on the
Big East tournament in Madison Square
Garden. Something like that.
I mean, they had some okay years in the mid 80s, and then they had a run there in the early 2000s where like 5 out of 6 years or 6 out of 7 years they went to the tournament.
Yeah.
No deep breaks, first or second round exits every year, but they were a tournament team more often
but
than
not. It was probably way
with Al
then.
Skinner as their head coach.
Yep.
He was there all the way until
not when they joined the ACC, they became totally irrelevant.
Yes, they did.
I'm trying to think how to word this. Was 40% of the reason Boston College hired Luke Murray in hopes that Bill would be sitting courtside?
Yes. And maybe he'll donate to their NIL funds. He's worth a lot of money.
Utterly ridiculous.
He'll pay for my program, man.
We got a guy paid in the National Football League. We'll dive into that. A couple news and notes in the NFL that will probably scatter throughout the show. I'll tell you who the two guests are, and we got Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague at the top of the hour. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. 6:45 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Bring gas.
We got Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague coming up at the top of the hour. I think you're going to enjoy the breakfast special of the day. It will probably be oat milk with wheat toast.
Wheat. I'm a big fan of a wheat. Actually, sourdough 100% of the time. 100% of the time.
Oh, it's I love rye.
You're a big rye guy?
Good marble rye.
I'll give you guys a hot take. I like all of it.
I mean, I'm not anti any bread.
You give me sourdough. You give me wheat. You give me white.
They always ask you, what kind of toast do you want? What do you go with? Do you rotate? I always go sourdough.
I always go with rye.
Man. I usually go wheat.
You go wheat?
Yeah, but if sourdough
is... Not surprising.
Is
you're a healthy guy. Not eating that white bread over there, huh? Got to watch your figure.
I hate you. Like, I just...
There little nuts in your bread. Got to get your nuts in your bread.
Do I buy the Dave's Killer Bread at Costco that has nuts in it? Yes, I do.
I mean, I do too. You know, yes, who am I criticizing here?
We had NFL news this morning. Came across the wire. Maybe it's last night, but yeah. Bijan Robinson, who was an in-camp holdout of the Atlanta Falcons, one of the highest-picked fantasy football players, according to
will he be number one for everybody this year? Probably. Him or Gibbs. I mean, who are the candidates to go number one? I'm out of the fantasy football loop. Who's ahead of Bijan Robinson?
I have a hot take.
Oh, go ahead. Give it away.
I value quarterbacks the most.
I think fantasy football people laugh at that.
That's fine. I feel like I've heard that for a decade, but then every time.
Well, I see.
How many trophies you got in your trophy case over there, Sprague?
I do have. Well, I got second place.
Maybe if you would have valued running backs a little bit more.
I was so bad at my latest fantasy football, I had to drop out of the league.
Yeah, you quit. They just
I had to text the group. I'm like, guys,
I'm out of here, man.
It always depends on how the scoring works for quarterbacks. I see the most fluctuation with that.
Quarterback's most likely, though, to give you the most consistent amount of points. Running back can easily be shut down and taken out.
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's
but
definitely
also,
that.
Aside from injury, the position scarcity of the top running backs and the fall off very quickly to, like, running back 5 and 6 as opposed to quarterbacks is a lot There's like a cliff from like the top five or six running backs.
But like I had Barkley last year. I don't do fantasy anymore. I had Barkley last year.
It was a massive disappointment.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's the roll of the dice there, right? Then you could get Joe Burrow and think you're going to get 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And you only play seven games
season. That's true.
That's the balance of it. What he did last year and why it was so impressive was that if you're game planning against Atlanta, what was the only thing you're circling, essentially?
Stop him, tackle, seven.
I mean, I get it, but they didn't have a functional quarterback for the majority of the season, so you're not quite as worried about the weapons because it was Kirk Cousins and his ruptured Achilles throwing the ball for half the year. It was like, hey, let's load the box and slow him down, and he damn near had a 1,000 season.
He had 1,400 yards, 5.2-yard average. He had seven TDs, and as you mentioned, almost had 1,000 receiving yards.
What's that list at? Three guys, right? Craig, Falk, and McCaffrey. Is that it? Did Marshall Faulk do it too?
Yeah, Falk's in it.
Is that the only three?
I think those are the three.
So he has a great chance of becoming maybe the fourth all time.
I mean, it's just, it's rarefied air of talent. So let me give you the deal here very quickly because it was reported this morning. It's a three-year extension worth up to $75 million. Makes him the highest paid running back in NFL history. And he'll get $51 million guaranteed.
I mean, I love it. If you're a Falcons fan, you have other issues with the organization and you have major questions about what you're going to do at quarterback and how that's going to look. One of the questions that I don't have about Atlanta is Robinson, his talent, and his durability. Like, I think he's only missed two games, I want to say, in his career. He's been available every season. He's gone over 1,000 yards back-to-back years. And he's done all of this in an offense, again, in which he doesn't get to be a kind of behind-the-scenes player. If that's the right phrase, like Saquon Barkley doing it in Philly, they had a decent passing attack.
He's played every game of his career.
So he's never missed a game. Like, that's even better.
Yeah, because he started 50 games, and he's played in 51.
Yep.
That's crazy.
I mean, the guy's been incredibly durable. Years.
That is durable.
That's it. That's insane, right? And so
averaging nearly 5 yards a rush, 4.9 yards
a rush
in
3 years, and it's a 3 year extension. So there's always that fear about running backs falling off.
It's a great deal for both.
It's perfect, dude. You get a ton of money up front. You get guaranteed money coming your way.
Yeah.
That protects you in case of an injury.
Yep.
And also, maybe the NFL should change a little bit of the way we look at the position. I certainly understand.
Don't you think that they have the last 2 or 3 years?
Well, it's not necessarily just paying the guys. It's also on top of that for me. It's the idea that, like, when Christian McCaffrey went to San Francisco, what was the notion about him? He's hurt. He's always banged up. Can he stay healthy? Is he going to run himself into the ground?
Well, I thought that, okay, hold on.
I felt like that was a lot of the narrative of a guy who missed a ton of games in Carolina. How is this going to work out for San Francisco? And he had the 1 year where he was banged up and didn't play a ton.
Yeah.
Outside of that, he's been, I mean, last year he was literally all they had.
I mean, I was convinced because the way that, we'll get to the Niners stuff today maybe or tomorrow because we have Matt Maiocco joining us. Their laundry list of injuries already. We're five practices in, and it's insane.
It's ridiculous.
Right. His last 2 years in Carolina, he played three games and then seven games.
I was convinced last year he was destined to pop something because he was having calf problems going into the regular season.
Right.
And it was debatably his most durable season of his career.
Everybody thought he's going to pop his Achilles at some point, and he had
400 touches.
Yeah, he had 400 touches, 1,200 rushing yards. And so, he's now 9 years into his career. So the point I'm trying to make on Bijan, if anybody is worried about the deal, like, he's got six more years to go until he gets to that point.
Yeah.
He's only 3 years into his NFL career. You're only covering the next 3 years, or I think it's three plus the one because it was an extension, but he's shown the ability to be durable. I have no issue with this contract at all.
Oh, no. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find. Why would you have a problem with this contract? He's making $22.5 million a year.
He's literally their offense.
He is right now their leading offense.
And as far as I know, no issues off the field.
None at all.
No, seems like a real stand-up dude, really good in the community. I can't believe he still doesn't have a national Dijon commercial.
Yeah, that does seem like a missed
Dijon for Dijon. Just, it's right there. So here are your rushing leaders last year. James Cook, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Bijan was fourth, Devon Achane was fifth, Kyren Williams was sixth, Jahmyr Gibbs seventh, McCaffrey, Javonte Williams in Dallas, and then Barkley ended up being top 10 in rushing.
Yeah, he did.
When you look at the top 10 of those guys, how many of those, like, I look at maybe Kyren Williams and you say, is that interchangeable?
How many of them are
truly groundbreaking, game-changing, wrecking type guys versus in good systems? They're good, obviously, but they're benefited from their situation.
Yeah, that's what makes Bijan so impressive to me, is that you could look at a Kyren Williams and say, well, look what else is around you. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. He's going to be the next guy that gets paid. I also think he went to a much better situation than Bijan Robinson did. The Lions have been functional on offense. That has not been their problem. Even in a down year where they didn't make the playoffs last year, go look at Jared Goff's numbers, dude. He was like top three in the NFL in passing yards.
What were they the year before he got there, though?
Who, Jahmyr Gibbs?
What were the Lions offensively the year before he got there? Because I'm wondering how much
he's 3 years
changed.
Into his career, right?
I believe that's correct.
So what year would that have been? Would that have been Campbell's first year?
I think it was his second season, because Campbell, I remember being in the draft room.
So it would have been the 2022 season.
Yeah.
Let me see what their numbers
they
were.
They took a couple years to get that thing humming.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm not saying he's not a big part of it.
No, I get what you're saying.
My only argument is simply that I think that he has benefited from having a very high-functioning offense around him.
Well, there was another
which
running...
makes his life easier.
I think part of that is all... I mean, yeah, because he's got the receivers, no doubt, but I also think he is a huge part of that.
The year before that, Amon-Ra St. Brown was there as an 1,100-yard receiver. Jamal Williams was their leading running back. They had DeAndre Swift. They combined for about 1,600 yards.
He had 1,200 last year.
Jamal Williams had 17 TDs that last year. Damn. And Goff, 4,400 yards, 29 touchdowns, 7 picks.
So their offense was good.
I think that was the year, if I remember correctly, that they beat Green Bay in the last week of the season.
Yeah.
Didn't make the playoffs, but it was like, look at that momentum! And then they drafted Gibbs.
But like, Cook wanted to be paid last year in Buffalo.
Yeah. I also look at him as a guy of like, it's really nice when Josh Allen's your quarterback because the focal point of the defense is on what? Every play. It's on Josh Allen.
It is an odd thing. I think he is a good player. I don't know, like, do I put him in the Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson?
I wouldn't quite go that far.
Jahmyr Gibbs category? I don't think I do that.
If you gave me my pick of backs and we're doing like a fantasy draft, hey, everybody's a Bijan Robinson is my number one overall pick.
Meanwhile, Derrick Henry's just being the LeBron of the NFL.
Just doing it every year.
Not retiring.
Over 1,000 yards, you're like, or 1,000 yards, 1,000 years, it feels like at this point.
Yeah.
1,000 yards every season, just continuing to do it.
Who is the best back in the NFL?
I'd take Bijan. Bijan would be my pick.
Over Jonathan Taylor?
Over Jonathan Taylor.
Taylor's an underrated, right?
Jonathan Taylor's awesome, dude. Jonathan Taylor's really good.
Gibbs is in that, too. Obviously, McCaffrey, I think, still deserves that recognition.
Yep.
It's an interesting one.
Saquon 2 years ago would have been the easy answer here.
I still think Saquon's great.
Yes,
so,
he's very good.
We'll see if the bounce back's going to happen for him. Bijan Robinson paid in the ATL shoddy. Loaded second hour. A lot to get to. We start it with Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.